Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Kevin eventually would like to talk about world peace.
Sure.
Meta world peace.
Yeah, thank you.
I just don't think it's a plus for world peace when world peace is violent.
Well, that's what, you know, that's a great point. Are you living up to your name? No, not at all.
Actually, he had been for many, many years since the 2004 brawl at the Palace of Auburn Hills when he played for the Pacers. He actually had been doing a much better job until this bizarre thing yesterday, which we will get to in a few moments. But again, I feel he should be suspended for every game James Harden is out, plus one.
That is a great idea. I never thought of that that way, but that's a great idea.
I mean, when you injure somebody, that now what the NHL did with Brendan Shanahan was, you know, 25 games for Rafi Torres because of they're in the playoffs and it's unpredictable. And say the Blackhawks get knocked out, although all the first five games of that series, each one has gone overtime, which is amazing. They'll play tonight. They'll play game six at the United Center. I think 25 games, Brendan Shanahan handled that right. In this case, there's still a couple of regular season games remaining. And you're talking about the Lakers, who have the possibility of moving in the playoffs, and Oklahoma City has a possibility of moving in the playoffs. Why should the Lakers be allowed to move through the playoffs with Meta World Peace playing and Oklahoma City not be allowed to move through the playoffs without James Harden? Because Harden did nothing wrong. Harden was running down the court to get to the other end to start playing offense again. Didn't intimidate him. Didn't trash talk him or anything. He was just going down the floor. When you injure somebody, I've always been a firm believer, and I've never understood why discipline has not been meted out this way. When you injure somebody, to me, you should be out for every game that that player is out, plus one game once that player finally gets back. That, to me, is a suspension.
I think it also depends on what happened, too. Maybe that suspension should be even longer if it was more of a more egregious issue.
Maybe. But I think that's where you have to start. And in other words, you have to tell everybody, you injure deliberately on a penalty or a foul, this is going to be the starting point. It's not going to be, oh, you're going to get a game, two games. No, you're going to be out every game. For example, you're a pitcher, you deliberately throw at somebody, deliberately. Retaliation, you hurt them, and they're out on many games. Okay? If you're a reliever, to me, you should be out every game plus one. If you're a starter, you should be about X amount of starts plus one. That'll take care of that little problem. Today's broadcast brought to you by Purdy Insurance. After the blue-white game, Bill O'Brien sat down with the media and fielded questions about his team and the scrimmage.
But he looks so serious again now. Here we go.
All right, questions for Coach. You're going to say that, did you have fun today?
Sometimes. No, it was fun. It was a good day. It was a great day to get into the stadium and get a game operation. You know, there's some things that you can really learn from that. You can meet as a staff, which we'll do before these guys head out on the road recruiting and talk about a lot of the glitches, because obviously it wasn't perfect, and we can really learn from it. So it's a great opportunity for our players, our staff, to get in there and get the feel of how a game would be run under our leadership.
Bill, can you assess the quarterback play, and are you closer to having a top two?
I feel pretty good, you know, where we're at quarterback-wise. I really have to watch the film. I really do. I got to see the film. It's hard to see from the sideline, but all three of those guys made some plays today. And, again, I have to reiterate, all three of these guys, we've asked a lot of them. You know, we've asked them to learn a system that's totally different than anything they've ever learned. And that takes time. And different guys learn at different rates. And some guys get it right away. Other guys get it the next day. Other guys get it 2 days from then. And so we have to let it soak a little bit, let it soak for ourselves as a staff, and then we'll make a decision headed into training camp on who we're going with or who the top two are.
Bill, two-part question for you right in front of you, please. Did you have any particular thought or emotion as you came out onto this field today? And what did you say to the guys right after in that huddle?
Right before the game?
When you first came out, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, it's a great place. I mean, I was very excited. I wish the weather was a little bit better, but I can't control the weather. But it was a great day. It was really pretty neat for me to run out with that team. And we got a bunch of guys that are very excited to be a part of this Penn State football family. And it was a fun day for me to coach a spring game in Beaver Stadium. Take it into the locker room. Yeah, I mean, bring it up, break it down, and take it into the locker room.
Coach, can you talk about...
I love your hat.
Thank you very much. If you're in Massachusetts, it's a hard time right now, but thank you.
They'll be all right. It's a 162-game season. They got a long way to go. Typical Red Sox fan right there. Holy smokes.
Coach, can you talk about the format of today's game, why you chose to go with it, and how you felt it went throughout the day with the coaches out there and running ways the way you guys really wanted to run it?
Yeah, again, I think I really got to go back, and what we do is we go back and we talk about it as a staff and research how that went. I thought it went well. I mean, there's a bunch of points on the scoreboard, and I think one of the main things I wanted to do there was reward the defense for good plays, and obviously they made a lot of good plays today. And you know, the defense is probably ahead of the offense right now, and that's to be expected in a new program, when everybody's learning new things. So I felt it was pretty good, and I think it was exciting for the fans at times. I'm not saying it was the most exciting game in the world, but I said it wasn't going to be the most exciting game in the world. So but again, it was great to see all the fans out there, and I think it was a good day for Penn State football.
Bill, you talked about it not being potentially very exciting. How much of your offense did the fans, would you say, saw today, and how much did you kind of pull back on the throttle?
They saw about 10%.
Bill, I wanted to ask you about Bill Belton. How do you feel he ran the ball today, and are you happy with the way he's adapted to the new position?
Been really happy with Bill. Bill's a guy that is a smart guy. He's a quiet guy. He works at his craft, you know, and when we moved him there, he's picked it up pretty well, and he's got good instincts. I want him to carry the ball a little bit closer to his chest and take care of the football because, like I tell these guys, you know, when you carry the football, you carry the hopes and dreams of this football team. So ball security will be something that we'll talk to him about. But, again, he's had a good spring and been very happy with that position switch. That was a good one.
Bill, you were talking about your offense out there. I noticed you guys were writing the plays on a blackboard, 2, 14, 30, stuff like that. Was that simple, just to make it easy?
We did that in New England. Did the
I wasn't on the sidelines in New England.
Oh, you weren't?
No.
Oh. No, we just, you know, it's just wrist. Some plays are wristbanded, and we also have a signal system, but we certainly weren't going to signal plays in with the game being on the Big Ten Network, so we just used our wristband system today. We have several ways of getting the play in, and that's probably the simplest form right there is to just write the number on the board, and the number corresponds with the play on the wristband.
Coach, we saw a number of passes to the tight ends, which a lot of people were kind of expecting. How much do you enjoy that, given what we saw in New England, and did we get an indication of it today?
Sure. You know, we've got a good group of tight ends. They're all learning a new system. But, you know, I don't know how many of those passes were completed. But we spread the ball around in this offense. And the one thing people have asked me about tight ends over and over again, because of the success we had the last 2 years in New England. But, again, every year is different. Every team's different. So we're still evaluating this team. And we'll spread the ball to the tight ends, the receivers, the backs. You know, hopefully – it'll be very balanced. So But again, the tight ends will be a big part of what we're doing, and we'll keep developing them in training camp.
Bill, you've talked about other factors in how you evaluate quarterbacks. How important is pocket awareness to you when you're evaluating quarterbacks?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's a big part of it. You know, having an understanding of that the centers and guards set the depth of the pocket and that the tackles set the width of the pocket is very, very important for the quarterback to understand, and young quarterbacks don't always get that. And so we talk to them about hitting their back foot and climbing the pocket, you know, to respect the integrity of the pocket. And so that's a work in progress. I thought I got a little bit better today. I thought that all three of those guys, I can just picture in my mind each one of them climbing the pocket and stepping up and making a good throw. So I think, and a lot of it has to do with how the line's blocking too, that sometimes they had to block better. So it all works together. But I was happy with how they did that at times today.
Bill, when you've been asked to sort of assess the team throughout this stretch here, you mostly talked about intangibles. They're hard workers, they're coachable, et cetera. Now that you're at the end of spring practice, I wonder, do you have a better sense of the tangibles, what kind of athletes, what kind of talent you have?
Yeah, I have a better sense after winter conditioning. I do have a better sense of that, and I think that we've got a big team. I think we've got a physical team at certain spots. I think we've got decent speed. But, again, I'll continue to evaluate that during training camp and all the way through, especially when we start playing games, you know, next season. That'll be a huge evaluation, you know, not having played any games yet. And then we go out next year and play some games and see how we match up. But to this point, I've been – pleased with our football players and their skill level.
Bill, over here, Bill, to your right. You had mentioned earlier that you'd hope to give the three quarterbacks as even a bit of reps as possible. Were you happy with how many plays each guy got to run? Would you have liked to have seen more from some one or another person?
No, Charlie Fisher did a great job today. I don't know if you noticed, I kept going out there to talk to him, and that's what I was talking about, was how the reps were. And because, again, if I'm going to stand up in front of this team and talk about being fair and honest, then we need to be fair in scrimmages like this with the distribution of reps, especially at that position. So I believe it was fairly balanced. Now, you know, obviously it can't be equal. You know, each guy didn't get 30 reps apiece, you know, but I think for the most part it was fairly balanced, and we'll be able to review the film and have a good understanding of how they all played.
Bill, you came into this thing back down in front of you with your eyes wide open. This is more than a football program. There are people who come from places where they've learned to lose, like Boston, all the way to Florida, and it's a $100 million program. Is there one thing that you've learned, either that you picked up or that somebody said to you since you've been here, that you think is going to be the most helpful going forward?
I've learned many, many things. I wouldn't be able to pick out one thing. I've met so many people, whether they're Penn Staters or state college people or people in the new neighborhood that I live in, that just talk about what a special place this is and what the university means to the community, the state, the country. And so I realize every day, I wouldn't say that there's one thing, but I do know this, that this is a place that I'm very, very proud to be the head football coach here. And I also know that the football program is a part of the athletic department, which I believe is a great athletic department, which is a part of a special university. And that's all we are. We're a big part. Obviously, there's a 108,000 seat stadium that we're sitting in right now, but we're a part of a great athletic program. It's a part of a great university.
You know, Bill, when the spring practice started, there were some questions, you know, about the defensive end position and lack of game experience, and, you know, guys coming off of injury like Massaro and everything. And they had talked about maybe getting a five-man rotation. Do you feel good about the defensive ends now coming out of spring practice?
I feel very good about our front seven on defense. I think we've got 8 to 10 defensive linemen that can all rotate in there and play. You know, obviously led by Jordan Hill. You know, he's one of the better inside defensive tackles that I've been around. I feel good about our linebacking core. You know, we haven't seen Mike Mowdy. You know, he's coming back for training camp, and we're really looking forward to having him back on the field. So I'm happy with the front seven, and that would include the defensive end spot.
Bill, you've had to make a few switches on the in the secondary, moving Drake over and shifting Amos to safety. How do you think that's come along so far, and are you happy with the depth you have there?
Yeah, we had to make some moves over there just to get some numbers over there. That was the big thing. And, you know, all those guys have shown flashes. You know, Stephon Morris has had a great – everybody asks about the position changes, but, you know, it also starts with the guys – that have been there, and Stephon Morris and Malcolm Willis, those guys have had really good springs. They're good leaders for us, and those other guys that you mentioned have come in there and done a good job too. Amos, you know, those guys have done a nice job too. So, again, it's not the deepest position on the team, but there's guys there that can play football.
Bill, out back here. Obviously, it's an important day for your players. But for your coaching staff, can you kind of explain how important it was to kind of start that communication process that you guys will be dealing with throughout games, throughout the season, how you guys communicate yourselves?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. And, you know, I wish we had probably done it one more time this spring. Looking back on it, I wish we had come over here one more time for a scrimmage, but we didn't. And so we'll have to go off of this one. But a lot of us have worked together. You know, like, for instance, it was funny, you know, you get on the headset, haven't coached with Mac in a long time, but it was just like yesterday. You know, you get on a headset and you know what he's talking about and what he's looking for, and the same thing with Ted Roof. So it's kind of like riding a bike, and that's the best thing about having a staff that you've worked with before. So, you know, I feel very good about our communication, where it will be, not where it is right now, but where it will be. But again, we'll get in here during training camp for at least one more, maybe two game-like scrimmages where we have coaches in the press box and coaches on the field and keep working at it.
Coach, how did you come out of this scrimmage and the spring in general from an injury standpoint? Anybody get banged up today and everybody going forward?
Yeah, we had some rough last couple days. TJ Rattigan had a knee today. I'm not sure what it is. Didn't look great. Great kid. Felt terrible for him. James Van Fleet the other day in practice, you know, knee. And not sure exactly what that is, but because the swelling is – there's a lot of swelling there, but – great kid, felt terrible for him too. So, you know, you just hate to lose anybody. You know, I met with the parents of our players this morning and, you know, talked to them about the violence of the sport, and feel great about our training staff led by Tim Bream and our team doctor, Dr. Sebastianelli. There are a couple guys there that really care about these kids and will take care of them. But, you know, you hate to see injuries, but those things occur in football.
Hey, Bill, can you talk about Paul Jones's overall body of work this spring, and what does he need to show you to win the starting job in the fall?
Paul Jones has gotten better every single day, and Paul Jones and I have a unique relationship because we both have unique senses of humor, and he's been a fun guy to coach, and, you know, I'll keep between he and I what he needs to do to win this starting job, but he made a lot of strides this spring, and he's doing better in school. And I've really enjoyed being around Paul Jones.
That's Bill O'Brien at the press conference after the Blue-White game Saturday at Beaver Stadium. Great to have you with us. Our number 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. Brought to you today by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, online at purdyinsurance.com. We'll bring back the magical and mystical Kevin Herr in a moment on WKOK. Great to have you with us as we welcome everyone back on the Steve Jones Show here on WKOK. And, heard Bill O'Brien, heard the players, your double dose of Bill O'Brien today. We have our poll question up. So, now, we want to open up those phone lines. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And at some point, Kevin and I will discuss problems with world peace.
Which world peace again?
Imagine announcing Laker games. I mean, if I'm announcing a Laker game, what do you call him? I'd be calling him Ron Artest the entire time.
Well, ABC, who had the game on Sunday where the incident happened, where the elbow incident happened, they referred to him after the incident as Artest and then had to quickly change it.
Well, that is his name.
Well, and one of the and I think it was the color commentator who I did not catch who was doing the game. I just caught the highlights of it. He actually says, but it was Ron Artest like when referring to the elbow.
Yeah, well, you know, he got into that brawl at the Palace of Auburn Hills, which Mike, I've talked to Mike Breen about that. Mike and I have become friends, and he was telling me that announcing that was one of the toughest things he ever had to do. And he did it brilliantly, by the way. Brilliant job. Always doing a brilliant job, Sarah Bartlett. Some ways the heart and soul of this show. No surprise, this veteran campaigner. We'll hear from her in a moment.
Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Your information source 7 days a week. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Carbon footprint, a top priority, plus local group benefits from DEP grants. AccuWeather says a couple of showers, rain or snow tonight, a low 35. A good afternoon to you. I'm Sarah Bartlett. Evangelical Community Hospital of Lewisburg says a top priority for them is being aware of their carbon footprint. In 2011, the facility recycled 155 tons of material. Greg Vokovic is director of the Environmental Safety and Security. He says the program stretches from the simple, such as plastics and aluminum, to the more complex.
One of the big things in healthcare is to go mercury free. And we all know all the old thermometers had mercury in them. We know the blood pressure cuffs would contain mercury. And since we started taking pounds and pounds of mercury out of here, as most healthcare has.
Ensuring your business is serious stuff. You don't need gimmicks or cutesy mascots or punchlines. You certainly don't want red tape. You just want the right coverage at the right price. We're as serious about insuring your business as you are about running it. Selective. Response is everything.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
See, I'm using Twitter.
Yes. Yes, you
are. I tweeted today.
You did. It was not true, but you did tweet.
What do you mean it wasn't true? You said people need to know the inside of what's going on in that broadcast booth. I provide them the inside scoop on the broadcast booth, and because you don't like it, it's... You had to reply?
I did. I just clarified things.
Clarified what?
Well, you tweeted, and if you're not a follower of Steve Jones Show on Twitter, you should be, because you'll find interesting little tidbits like this. So go to at Steve Jones PSU, and you'll find out that Steve tweeted, Kevin ate 8 hot dogs on Saturday. I replied, that is not true. It was only 3, but they didn't have hot dogs.
Okay, I should have gone with the big cookies.
I did have a big cookie.
Yes, you did. I saw. In fact, you had so many, I thought you were going to need a forklift.
I did have a big cookie.
Ken in Milton at 1-800-795-9565. Kenny, great to have you with us, buddy. Welcome to the show. Hi, Ken. This is the part.
Blue light game?
Yes, Kenan. How are you?
Oh, fine, thank you. They didn't have hot dogs serving Saturday? What is that?
he claims that there were no hot dogs. He probably was right about that, but he wants me to tweet the inside of what's going on in the booth, so I tweeted that Kevin had 8 hot dogs Saturday.
Well, good. I hope that's not a Bill O'Brien thing, because I can't go to a game out there without hot dogs.
That's exactly right. No.
Well, Steve, this is kind of a joint question thrown out for both of you. I'd like to get both your takes. And, you know, you don't know what to expect. We knew these changes were coming, actually been anticipating it for a while, that, you know, that there would be changes and things couldn't go on forever. But in a non-politically correct way of speaking, in a non-journalistic speaking, what was your personal take on... And I realize you only see so much, and it is new. I completely understand that. But I'd like to get your personal take on if you thought maybe one quarterback looked a little more comfortable than another, if you thought that maybe, you know, what you thought of the offensive line's performance in the scope of what they were trying to do. And additionally, I'd like to know exactly, you know, Kevin, as a fan, you know, what do you expect or what do you hope to see out of this Penn State team? What do you hope to see out of the Bill O'Brien era that maybe we didn't see in the past? And it's certainly nothing derogatory towards the past, but we're looking towards the future here, and I'd like to get your inputs on that.
Kevin, I'll let you go first.
Well, I would like to see, and I think we saw a little bit of it, the use of the tight end was probably only a fraction of what we're going to see when the regular season starts. But I'm very, very impressed with how the tight ends run their routes, the way they come off their blocks. I mean, they really sold all three of the tight ends that I made a mental note of, really sold the block very, very well before rolling out and going into the pattern. And that's a key. If you can have a tight end that can sell the block and then go out and make the catch, you know, and again, those are high percentage passes on most of the time there, I think you're going to have an offense that could really move the ball. And then, of course, you know, the running back situation, you know, Silas Redd is just that good. So that's only going to make the passing game even better. So that would be my thing. I think the tight ends.
All right, I guess up to me next, huh? All right, quarterbacks going forward. I mean, you only saw a fraction of the offense, very little. But I'll give you one indication of one play that's very much like what they've been running, and that was the touchdown throw to Christian Kuntz. Went over, found a spot, sat down. Pitch and catch, turned it into yards after the catch of the touchdown. They ran that play once. One time they ran that play. They only ran five or six pass plays all day. Well, that was the one time they ran that. That was more similar to what I've been watching, and a lot of stuff over the middle and crossing routes and things like that. Quarterback-wise, comfort-wise, I mean, Matt McGloin, I think, has been pretty comfortable, especially the last 2.5 weeks of the spring with everything. I thought Paul Jones got off to a slow start, but I think he really came on the last couple of weeks for him. And Rob Bolden needs to still find it. There are moments where Rob looks really good and comfortable and looks and is making great reads, and other moments where he doesn't have that comfort, and he didn't have a lot of comfort on Saturday. He threw the three interceptions and did not have a lot of comfort. So he needs to improve in that area. Offensive line, they gave up a lot of sacks, but you know what? Ken, that's a bit misleading because when they only have the five or six pass plays really in as opposed to volumes, several chapters of pass plays, that changes the offensive line because there's so many pass plays that are in there where you don't need to sustain your block that long based on reads and where the pass plays happen to be. So that's a mixed bag right there. I think this offensive line is going to be pretty good. Stankavage is solid as a rocket center. He had a great spring. Urschel's going to be just fine, and Shrive will push him a little bit. Donovan Smith, was really starting to come on last year. He's going to be fine there, and Farrell will compete with him. Diefenbach did pretty well making that transition from center to guard. Liked that a lot. And I think they can get that group in gear, and I think that could be a pretty good group. But I like the job Mac McWhorter has done. Mac is a major league offensive line coach, and I think he's developed a couple. I think they could be a couple lines deep, actually. I think they can actually have some decent depth at offensive line, just not one group.
Would you agree? And again, I'm certainly not implementing or implying that the early schedule is weak, and that's not it at all. But would you agree that their schedule might be favorable to a little bit of growth, a little development before they get into the Big Ten schedule? And, you expect the offense to be, even in an established program, you expect the offense to be behind the defense, you know, the timing issues and everything like that, especially in the spring.
Right.
Would you think that the schedule lends to those growing pains, that development, and give them that, you know, 3 to 4 weeks there that they can, before they get into the Big Ten schedule, where they can come together and you know, really have a chance to iron the things out that they want to do?
Well, Ken, I think I'm sensing from you, and you can tell me if I'm incorrect, that because there's not a powerhouse Alabama on there, that maybe it's just an okay non-conference schedule.
Well, but I'm not saying it's a poor schedule. I certainly don't mean to imply that.
Yeah.
I'm very satisfied with it. You look at these things as a state fan, at least I do, you know, with the development and all the changes that are forthcoming, you look for those rays of sunshine that maybe might help things along.
Actually, this is how I look at the non-conference schedule he has coming up. And he didn't put it together. This was the schedule that was put by Franny and approved by Joe.
Sure.
They're going to play four good teams heading into the Big Ten. Now, I didn't say they were going to play anybody that's great. And I didn't say they were going to play anybody that's really, really good. But they're going to play four good teams and no mediocre teams. Ohio University is coached by Frank Solich. They've been one of the better teams every single year in the MAC since he got there. They'll be a good team to open with. You then play at Virginia, another good team that especially made some strides late last year in the ACC. You then follow that up with another good team with the option game in Navy. Navy's been making bowl games on a regular basis of late. And then you follow up. Steve Adazio's done a good job following up on what Al Golden's done. Another good team in Temple before you then get to the Big Ten. So I think actually what's going to happen, Ken, is that Bill O'Brien and his staff, because they're playing four good teams, I didn't say great, but playing four good teams, well, guess what? I think that will give them a really good evaluation about where they actually are before they get into the game at Illinois in the Big Ten.
Wonderful. That's actually what I was hoping to hear you say.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, fellas. Have a great show, and really enjoy listening to you.
Six. Go back to 2-4. I mean, that means
a big arm in practice. And, I mean, he can deliver it, and we all know he can run. Now it's a question of mastering the parts. Remember the interview I had on with Bill O'Brien earlier in the show?
Yes.
All right. What he's looking for, and Paul needs to make the strides forward in the three areas he talked about, which he has been, by the way. He is next. Hi, William. Great to have you on the show today.
Hey, how is it going there? I'm calling to it's going to be different this year without Joe Paterno there. I'm almost 50 years old, and it's been every year, Joe Paterno and Fran Ganner and all them guys. How do you think everything's going to work out on an all-together basis with all the new coaching, and how are the players reacting and stuff?
William, excellent question. I think what is important is that anybody who wants to play has to buy in. We know that. But in order to play, but also play with a purpose and to really play with the idea you're going to win a championship, you have to buy in with passion. All of these players have bought in with passion, which is great to see. They've adapted to the new coaching staff. They really like this coaching staff a lot. They love the other coaching staff, but now, let's face it, they knew that they had to obviously adapt, and they've done that. How's it going to play out? Bill O'Brien has come in. He has embraced what Joe Paterno had done. He is very strict on academics. He is very strict on discipline. And he is, and those are all the basics of what Joe Paterno did. So he is in with those basics. Now, remember, no matter what you do in life, you have to do things your own way that you're most comfortable with. And it doesn't mean that the other way was wrong. The other way was right. The other way was right 409 times. It was right 409 times. Okay? And he knows that. But at the same time, Bill O'Brien has to be Bill O'Brien and has to coach it the way he coaches it in his comfort level. And guess what? The other system worked for Joe the way he did it. I'm telling you right now, this system's going to work great for Bill O'Brien the way he's going to do it. I have great confidence in what he's going to do.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with what he's doing and just how he talks on the radio and how he answers questions. He really surprised me, and I think he had some good coaching experience under some good professional coaching, and I think it's going to help Penn State a lot.
Oh, I think so too. And again, just because it's a different way of doing it, is not an indictment of the old way of doing it. You always have, and I've always given people the example. There are a lot of basics that Fran Fischer brought to this job. A lot of basics. Fundamentals that I carry to this day. Are we different styles? Yes, we are different styles. Okay, he has his way of doing it that's perfect for Fran Fischer, and it's great for you, the fans. And I have my way of doing it, which is similar to him in some ways, but still my way of doing it. And it's, of course, up for debate as to whether you fans like it or not. But we went through that transition in this particular profession. Same thing's happening here. Doesn't mean one's better than the other. It's just what you're comfortable with.
That's great. Hey, can I say one thing? Men of world peace. I hope they throw the book at him, and he does not play any playoff games, and it hurts the Lakers, and the Lakers have to do something and get rid of him because he deserves it. And thank you for taking my call.
William, thank you very much for your comment there at the end. Appreciate it. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565 as we continue on with the Steve Jones Show in a few moments here on WKOK. Let's go to Judy in Muncie. Welcome to the show, Judy.
Hey, guys. How you doing there?
We're doing very well.
Good. Hey, it's great to be on the show. I just got home from work a few minutes ago, and we're just tuning in. I know we don't have much longer, but anyhow, I have a question for you. On Paul Jones, I know he's been struggling academically. What kind of things is he taking advantage of to improve his grades? Do they still have, like, tutoring and all that good stuff for him, and is he taking part of that?
Judy, he has done very well this semester. He is actually on track to end the semester without an issue.
Awesome.
Okay, I mean, and that's from what I understand. What he's been able to do is that he's been able to stay on track. He is on track in every class right now. And if he can get through this week and then through finals on the same path he's on, he should not have an issue heading into next season.
Oh, that's great. I was talking to Roger this morning on Facebook, and I asked him if he heard my husband start the ruckus back in the NC section the other day when we were started the We Are Penn State. He goes, oh, yeah, we heard it up in the booth. So we were the instigators on that one.
Well, good. He did. As Kevin knows, I probably didn't. when you have the headsets on, it really does block out what actually is around you. So.
It does. Well, we're so glad to have you here in our territory. And we do check your show out. We just couldn't find the phone number the other night, or we would have called before the game. It's great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you, too, Judy. Wonderful.
Take care.
All right. Great questions, as always. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. And once again, Kevin concerned about the state of world peace.
Well, listen, one final thought on world peace, or Mr. World Peace, I guess would be correct. If you're going to create that sort of a problem because you're going to celebrate and you elbow somebody in and it's accidental, wouldn't you turn around and help the guy up or at least apologize or something?
Of course you would.
But he didn't. And if it was accidental and he moved on, that makes it worse, in my opinion, than if you intentionally did it and you don't help the guy up.
I know. I understand.
It's like, I'm going to celebrate. I elbowed you. Who cares?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, by the way, you going to be selling DVD and signing DVD copies of your Big Ten Network appearance from everybody saw you in the background the other day.
Really? Yeah. I had not seen that.
Oh, no. Really?
I'm so disappointed. I missed that now.
No, oh, no, no. Don't be disappointed. It's on tonight.
Did you see the rabbit ears I put over your head, though?
It's on tonight at... I don't know, nine.
Yeah.
Hey, here's a great opportunity for you. You love that part. That was a part that freaked you out.
I had no, yeah. On your 4-5 yard line.
Fingers me to do. Panic?
I was impressed.
All right, so let's go back to Kevin Cooler. He's the guy that's making sure Jim Glenn Mason knows what he's saying.
That was good. That even had ham going on that one. Jack liked that one too.
Wow, did you hear what Mason said?
No. Again, I missed all this.
Mason says, behind every great man, there's a great woman. In Steve Jones' case, it's Jack Hamm.
Oh! Now, you know what?
On the broadcast part, between Jack Hamm and Dick Girardi, that is absolutely true. I'm not a great man by any sense, a stretch of the imagination. I'm not saying that. But in terms of doing things that could possibly make this product better, those two are behind all of it.
And the antics in the booth are just a riot. I mean, I should have been tweeting that. I mean, it was almost as it was funnier than anything that happened on the broadcast. I mean,
no need to
there's
tweet.
A group of people. Well, they took my phone away from me, so I couldn't. But
thank goodness.
No, it was. I enjoyed it very much. Thank you so much for letting me sit up there.
What did you want to tweet? Tell us what you wanted to tweet. That's what I wanted. That people want to know now.
I was just going to say how entertaining it is in between segments on the air. I mean, if no one has any idea what goes on in that 30-second window between the time that Roger comes brings it back and or between you sending it to the network for the commercial break and then Roger bringing it back, that those are some of the funniest 30 seconds ever. You guys have a ball in that booth. The four of you,
yes, we have a great time. Yes, we do. We're very, very lucky. Very lucky. And the same thing with Dick when it comes to basketball. Jeff, Dick, and I for basketball. We just have an absolute blast. Right. Look, is it a serious job? Sure. Is it a big job? Sure. I understand that part. But, man, it beats working. So I tell you right now, it beats working. But, I mean, you get to go to games, and they give you money. It's really cool. So we are...
Listen, the funniest thing was 10 seconds before air, Steve turns, and I'm standing, sitting behind him. He turns around and goes, I get a little nervous before every broadcast. As he sips his coffee, and this just doesn't even shuffle a lineup around.
Well, as I said the other day, I'm an extremely lucky guy. I get to do exactly what I always wanted to do. I get to work with the best people. That includes you.
That's quite kind of you.
I'm just really, really lucky. I mean, I get to do Penn State football and basketball with Dick Girardi, Jack Ham. I mean, you have to be a real idiot to foul that up.